Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly of God podcast. We hope you enjoy this week's message. We'd love to hear what God is doing through this ministry. If you have a story to share, send us an email at connect@bedfordfirstag.org. Also, feel free to visit our website at bedfordfirstag.org. You can view the live stream of our services and find out more about our church. Thanks for listening.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of James, chapter 1. I've entitled a series of messages, A Practical Letter to the Church by a Just Man. And as we move into this portion and on through the rest of this book, you will see the practical aspect. James gets very specific and, well, close to where we live. And that's good, right? Thanks, both of you. How many expect to be, when you come into this house, you expect to be affected by the word? Should be our hearts. We're looking at verse number 19 to 27 today. And I've given it a title, and you'll see why in just a moment, of making a salvation garden of your life. I'm not going to dig into this too deeply. But I think that there's an interesting thought there of making a salvation garden in your life to plant seeds of the Word of God, water them by the Holy Spirit, and see them grow. I hope you realize that nothing spiritually, just like in everything else in life, nothing spiritually just happens. You and I have to want it to happen. Much of what occurs spiritually, we cannot make happen ourselves, but nevertheless, we still have to want it. Our precious Lord is such a gentleman. He will not force himself on us. In other words, he won't steal your time. But if you give him time, you can have a good time with him. Here in this passage, James, I say, gives us power advice to every believer in these 8 verses. The paraphrase of the Bible called The Message interprets the passage in a little bit different form, and I'm going to read. So if you're looking at a different translation this morning and wonder why my words are so much different than yours, it's because the paraphrase, The Message, is what I'm reading from this morning. He says, post this at all intersections, dear friends. Lead with your ears, follow with your tongue, and let anger straggle along in the rear. God's righteousness doesn't grow from human anger. So throw all your spoiled virtue and cancerous evil in the garbage. In simple humility, let our gardener, God, landscape you with the word, making a salvation garden of your life. Don't fool yourselves into thinking that you are a listener when you're anything but, letting the word go in one ear and out the other. Act on what you hear. Those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in a mirror, walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they look like. But whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, the free life, even out of the corner of his eye and sticks with it, is no distracted scatterbrain, but a man or woman of action. That person will find delight and affirmation in the action. Anyone who sets himself up as religious by talking a good game is self-deceived. This kind of religion is hot air and only hot air. Real religion, the kind that passes muster before God the Father, is this: reach out to the homeless and loveless in their plight and guard against corruption from the godless world. Amen. He gets with it there, doesn't he? Father in heaven, we look to you this morning. As I cast seed onto the soil of the hearts of everyone here and those listening online, may your Holy Spirit water the seed and may it produce a harvest. We know, Lord, that you have given us good seed, your word. I thank you this morning for your precious word. I also realize more and more all the time that the thing that we have in our power is the soil of our heart. How will we receive your word? Help us this morning to dig about and to make a place for your word in our lives. Holy Spirit, teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. Gary Preston, in his book titled Character Forged from Conflict, relates this story. I think I shared this with you some time ago, but it came back to my heart and mind, and so I want to share it again. At a time when the telegraph was the fastest way of long-distance communication, a young man applied for a job as a Morse code operator. Answering the ad in the newspaper, he went to the address that was listed. When he arrived, he entered a large, noisy office. In the background, a telegraph was clicking away. A sign on the receptionist's desk instructed applicants to fill out a form and wait to be summoned to the inner office. The young man completed the form and then took a seat with seven other applicants. After a few minutes, the young man stood up, crossed the room, walked into the inner office. The other applicants were wondering what was going on. They expected that he would soon come back with a reprimand and disqualification for the job. But within a few minutes, the young man came out with the interviewer, who informed the others waiting that the job had been given to the young man. The others spoke up at the injustice. But the employer said, "I'm sorry, but the whole time that you've been sitting here, the telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours. None of you heard it, but this young man did, so the job is his." I can't help but think, how many times is the Lord speaking to us? Maybe even as we're saying, "Lord, tell me what you want." But we're not tuned in. We're listening to other voices. We're listening to our own will. We're listening to so many things. And we're missing the voice of the Lord speaking into our lives. My first point to you this morning is this, that listening is better than speaking. James says, quick to listen. The word there in the original language of the Bible means more quickly. In other words, listening more quickly than anything else. More quickly than we're talking. More quickly than all the chaos that's going on around us. Be quicker to listen than any other things in our lives. Sometimes that's hard. I know many people are troubled by silence. I won't ask for a show of hands. That's not really fair. We all have our personalities. There's many times that I just love when Sharon would be gone or something or other and just keep the whole house quiet. She has a tendency to like to have a radio going or a television in the background or, you know, something, and that's not bad. That's fine. But it's just really neat sometimes to just shut it all down. It's surprising what you can hear when there are no other deliberate sounds. Come in this building anytime at night and walk around in this place, and you will swear up and down. That's a bad expression, but nevertheless. You're absolutely certain there's somebody else in here with you. I've heard doors close, and there wasn't anybody here. Someone was asked, it was actually a teenager, was asked to describe the difference between hearing and listening. I liked their answer. Listening is wanting to hear. We hear a lot. We don't listen a lot. I was telling, I think Shannon or one of the guys up here this morning, it kind of fit into our conversation. This wasn't mine, this is somebody else's, but it says, my wife said, I never listen to what she says. I think that's what she said. Hey, it's funny, but it's true. We get used to those in our household. And sometimes, you know, especially if they extrovert their speaking. My lovely wife talks out loud all the time. Now listen, that's just her, that's fine. But I mean, all of her thoughts are out loud at the house. Well, I can't say all of them, I don't know, there may be some others. But my biggest problem is sorting out when I'm supposed to listen. So say, I'm talking to you. I said, well, how am I supposed to know you were talking to yourself? Listening. My mind always goes to some of the old songs. I'll be somewhere listening. I'll be somewhere listening. Ever hear that one? Kind of, I think it's an old spiritual. Somewhere listening for my name. He says, quick to listen, slow to speak. What a combination. Charles Colton says, when in the company of sensible men, we ought to be doubly cautious of talking too much, lest we lose two good things, their good opinion and our own improvement. For what we have to say, we know, but what they have to say, we know not. I like that. You can learn a whole lot more by listening than you can by talking. And sometimes we talk right over our listener and we fail to learn, we fail to hear. I know many individuals that have true and open and loving hearts. But they struggle so in relationship of not talking and just listening that they really never catch other people's circumstance. You know what I'm talking about? You know, here in the church, we keep everything usually at a pretty shallow level. Hi, how are you? Ken's laughing back there because he comes in at all different times and he'll say, hi, how are you? I don't know whether he really wants to know how I am or not. It's really kind of depressing a lot of days, so I don't know if anybody wants to know about it. But we just toss those things out and really go on. Because they're just words, and we're not really caring to listen to the other piece of it. When true relationship is built more by listening than it is by talking. I think so many of us miss a lot in our prayer life because we think that when we go to the Lord in prayer, that it means that we need to just sit there and talk continuously. Some of the best times that you will have with the Lord will be times where you're listening, sitting in His presence, and just listening. Oh, there's nothing wrong with placing your needs before the Lord. That's scriptural and it's important. But again, to just say it over and over again, say it a different way, 75 times, you know, there's more to prayer than that. Stop and listen. The Lord may have something to tell you about your need or your circumstance. or if it's for someone else, a word from the Lord of encouragement that you can give to them. Lyndon Johnson, never was a real big fan of him, but when he was a senator in Texas, he displayed a sign on his office wall. He said, "You ain't learning nothing when you're talking." There's some wisdom there. Be quick to listen, James says. Now again, he's talking to the church, folks. So in other words, this is something that we need to take heart to. This is a practical lesson to the church. Be more of a listener than you are a talker. He takes it one more step. He says, slow to become angry. I'm finding that the older that I get, I don't know what's happening there, but I'm struggling with the way people drive. I think, it's a patience thing, I think, but my goodness. I had this message boiling around in me, and Friday I was up with doctors and all this kind of stuff on Friday, and driving around 465. I mean, just take me out and torture me. Instead of doing that, it's just horrible. People do just idiotic things. It's so hard to not just automatically become angry. I was sitting at a stoplight, and there's a guy right in front of me, and we're just waiting for the light to turn. And I don't know who, but somebody made him mad. So he's making all kinds of hand gestures out the window. We're just sitting at a stoplight, but somebody else out there made him mad, and he was going to make sure that somebody knew that he was mad. James says, for man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Now let me say, there's a place for anger. It can be the motivator for protection. It could be the motivation to move. To get up and move. There's a motivation. Anger can be a lot of things. Jesus was angry when he cleansed the temple. So we're not throwing anger out the window completely, but be slow to become angry. Think about it. Is it worth it? Is it really worth getting all upset about? Anger is sometimes the engine that motivates change that is necessary. It's also sometimes necessary to push us to justice. But all too often, anger is the negative emotion that divides us in relationship and is sometimes prompted by our desire to get our way above somebody else's. I think really that's probably the key. We want our way. And it makes us angry if our way is not happening first. Again, James talking to the church, folks, there should be a difference in our lives as believers. And those differences he's spelling out here very, very clear. Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry, because your righteousness will become evident through these things. It's very important. I like this one. I don't know how it applies, but I just liked it, so I'm throwing it in. Is that okay? Okay. Someone said to a Scotsman, "You have a terrible temper." The Scotsman replied, "Man, you don't know how much I'm holding back." I really think as believers, we really need to take this to the Lord. And can I tell you, having sat in the counseling room with folks for many years, this is often a closet thing. In other words, and not just a man problem. There are many, many Christians that sit in church on Sunday and worship and carry themselves like a believer, but when they get home, they're tyrants. Should not be. It's not the character of our righteousness, James says. And then he takes it one step farther. He says, humbly accept the word that is planted in you. This is the garden. Receiving the word. I'm not going to go into it today, but the parable of Jesus says, or the parable that he gives of the sower, you know, some falls on hardened ground and some falls in the weeds and on and on. What the point is to let us know that our hearts are where the seed is received. If it's going to do anything, if it's going to produce anything in your life, it has to get to your heart first. What did the scripture say? In one ear, out the other. I know I've listened to enough sermons myself. I know how it is when you're setting and hearing and your mind goes on off to what you're going to do next in the day, or what you got going next week, or what you had last week, and all these things, you know, our minds just are going on, and then all of a sudden we catch back up to whoever's speaking. As I've told you before, and this is what I think is very, very important, when the Holy Spirit of God does wake you up when you're listening to a message, and something does strike a chord in your life, get it down. Get it down on a piece of paper. Put it in your phone. Do something with it so that you can bring it back. Why? Because if that word penetrated all the other stuff, you know, come on, we're all smart enough. I realize that as I'm speaking, your minds are all over the place. How many will admit that? Yeah. But when the Spirit of the Lord does penetrate all of that and gets into your heart and into your mind, and something resonates with you and you realize, wow, that I need, write it down. Get it into your life. See, that's the next thing he says here. Whoops. There we go. Act on what you hear. That's the surest way to actually bring something alive that the Lord has spoken to you, is to act upon it. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes there has to be life changes, actually, before you can act upon it. But it's worthwhile in your life. He says in verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Interesting way of putting it. And so deceive yourselves. What's the deception? The deception is you think, oh, I heard it. Oh, yeah, I heard it. Good sermon, preacher. Meaningless. Meaningless. It's only when you take that word, implant it in your heart, and begin to produce a crop from it. Then it's meaningful. Then it's powerful. He says, those who hear and don't act are like those who glance in the mirror and walk away, and 2 minutes later have no idea who they are or what they look like. I'm going to make a sexist statement here. Are you ready? Ladies, excuse me, but grip your chairs. You don't really understand this. Not the way men understand this. Guys, do you ever take a glance at yourself in the mirror and think everything is as it should be? And then get about 20, 25 feet away from that mirror and think, did I comb my hair? Are there nose hairs sticking out of my nose or my ears? Come on. Like I say, you ladies, you stay there long enough to know what's going on. But we guys, we have a tendency just to get the job done as quickly as possible and move away from it. And then you walk away and you think, I don't know. Now, some of us with our hair, it's not as big of a task as others. I find myself anymore going, ah, who's looking? Just go on. What if there, here's a possibility. What if there was a quiz at the end of every message? And your spiritual destiny depended upon you passing the test. Whew. Are you ready? There is. It's called life. You see, what the Lord wants to do in my study, as I'm preparing, He takes me down a track. And I prepare, whether it's quotes by other people, or whether it's my own thoughts, whether it's exegeting the Word of God, and I build my notes and prepare to bring them in. But the Lord knows what's going on in your life. And He can put something inside me, into my notes, into my preparation, that is for you. I've had some of you come and say, oh, Pastor, that message was for me today. That was one of the times that you recognized that it was for you. But the fact is, because we are quick to speak, slow to listen, we miss so much of what the Lord is speaking to us. And then, of course, we don't get it into our lives. Would you agree with me this morning that that's kind of sad? That the King of all the ages, the God of the universe, is speaking into our lives, and we're so busy, we're so tuned out or whatever, that we miss His voice. Here, I'll give you one this morning. This came to my heart this week, and I'll let you ponder it. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and they follow me." How many of you have read that? He's talking about as the good shepherd, great shepherd. My sheep know my voice and they follow me. We always think that the rapture of the church is going to be this loud, incredible, booming kind of affair. Like shouts and all of this. But what if the Lord calls His children home with the same voice that He's speaking into you every single day? That shapes it, doesn't it? That same voice that He is speaking into your life as you sit here in this sanctuary, the same voice that He speaks into your life as you go about your day in the coming week. What if He calls His children home using that same voice? Once again, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. That's what He said. So if He simply said to His children, come on home. How many of us would be listening for His voice, would be listening so intently for the voice of the Lord that we would hear His call to come and to go with Him into heaven? Now again, you know, we've kind of got this down. Oh, trumpet's going to blast and the shouts are going to come and it's all going to be so super loud that I won't be able to miss it. But again, my sheep know my voice and they follow me. He's calling home His own. I don't know. To me, it's something to think about. What is your responsibility as a listener? I know I hear all the stuff. I mean, you know, it eventually gets back to me, the complaints and the, oh, you know, I wish He would preach this way and preach this way and all of that. So, I mean, I know all those evaluations. After 45 years, it'd be kind of hard to surprise me on some of them. But what's your responsibility? During this 40, 45 minutes that we take together on Sunday mornings, my responsibility is to preach the Word of God, to give you what the Lord has placed on my heart, in as simplest form that I can possibly give it, with all the clarity that I can possibly give it, and prayerfully with the anointing of the Holy Spirit upon it. But what is your responsibility? Ever think about that? Your responsibility in regard to the word. He says, but whoever catches a glimpse of the revealed counsel of God, that is the free life, the life that God wants us to have in him, even out of the corner of his eye and sticks with it, is not a distracted scatterbrain, but a man or a woman of action, that person will find delight and affirmation in the action. James tells us that the blessing is in the action. You know, sometimes I think we are looking for the blessing setting here as you're hearing the word. That's not the promise of the Lord. The blessing of the word comes when you are acting it out, when you're living it out. This is just seed casting and catching. Or not. But we need to think about this, church, that there is a responsibility for us when we are exposed to the Word of God, that it should find a place in our lives. Now, again, I don't know that the Lord expects that every single word that is brought to you will get through, but definitely, when His Holy Spirit puts a star, an asterisk beside something that was said, then we should mark it down. We should get it into our lives. And as we act upon it, that's where the blessings are going to flow. Again, see, we get stuck just on the hearing and the preaching and the hearing part, but it's the real blessing comes in that next step when you put it into action in your life. You will not know the power of be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. You can hear it, but you won't know the power of it until you say, you know what, I'm going to try that. With the Lord, I'm going to try that. I want to just listen. It'll challenge you because you'll sit there and think, oh, I need to say something. But as it grows in your life, you will become appreciative of those times of sitting in the presence of the Lord, letting His Holy Spirit speak into your life. And you say the amen, yes, amen, yes. So let it be, Lord. The third and final portion is proof of worship. Now, he uses the term religion, but that word religion there is the outward expressions of our spiritual experience. Predominantly ceremonial service of religion, the doing parts, okay? I mean, you understand that? It's not the inner reaches of our worship, but it is the outflow of our worship. You know, once again, so often we come to church ready to be ministered to. I'm not asking for a show of hands on that, but I want you to think about this. We come to church ready to be ministered to. And then if it's not given to us in the way that we like it, then we walk out and go, well, that just didn't minister to me. Is that really what this is about? I can prove to you from Scripture that what this is about is all of us coming and ministering to one another. Your greatest blessings will come not from just sitting here listening to somebody preach, probably a sermon out of a text that if you've been in this a little while, you have heard before. And they will say the same things that you've heard before. The benefit of your life will come as the word is applied in you and you minister. Sharon can attest to this. My Saturday nights are kind of agonizing. I will try to go on. I try to function and everything like that. But Saturday nights are weird. <laughs> 45 plus years. Saturday night after Saturday night, as the Spirit of the Lord is pushing on the message that I'm going to bring. That's my reality. What's yours? Many people don't even think about the worship service until they show up. The biggest decision that they make is, are we going to go today? You can tell by the empty seats. There are 250 seats in here. We have something over 250 people that have a regular attendance pattern. So you can see, you know, many made other choices today, and I understand there's vacations and all that kind of stuff. But nevertheless, again, many times the only decision that we make concerning a worship service is, are we going to go or not? When it should be, Holy Spirit, anoint me as I go to minister. What life can I touch? How can I use the gifting that you have given to me to bring glory and honor and praise to your name? Come on. You've been at the Bible long enough. You know what I'm saying to be true. He says, you are the body of Christ. You can't say to somebody else, you're not as good or you're not as needed as I am. He said, everybody's needed. And those, you know, those more hidden, with hidden gifts. Anybody want my allergies? I'll give them to you. Just like that. They're yours. What could we be? What could we be as a church if the burden of ministry, our worship, see, we think worship, well, I'm going to come in and sing some songs. We're going to have some prayers. I can prove to you from the Word of God that the greater worship is the giving of our gifts to his kingdom. That's where it really makes a difference. But think yourself, how many times do you, if not say it, think it? Boy, I hope that the service is good today. I really want a blessing. This has been a tough week. I really need a blessing. I sure hope that it's a really good service today. Maybe you get specific. I hope they sing the songs that I like. Hope that preacher preaches a really fun, positive message instead of one of those hard ones that he preaches. Huh? I've had such a tough week. When in fact, your spiritual work is just beginning. You see, if you take it serious, you'll be just like I am on a Saturday night. You're just kind of out of it because you're realizing tomorrow I get to go among the family of God. I get to be used of God. I get to be an encouragement and help to somebody. I get to minister. Huh? That, my friends, that is where the joy is. That's where the power is at. We cry out, oh, Holy Spirit, fall fresh on me. Why? I mean, this is me saying it, okay? But I'm saying, why? Why should the Holy Spirit fill you up with his person and his power? Do you have a plan? Is it because you're going to use it? Is it because you're actually going to say, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to turn you loose. Fill me up. Fill me with your power so that when I go among your people, that I can be the encourager that you want me to be. I'm listening. Give me a word for someone that I can go to that individual and I can put my hand in theirs or my arms about them and I can speak encouragement into their life. It's not about my blessing, God. It is about my ministry using what you have given to me already. Proof of worship. Look what he says. He says, helping the homeless. Well, let me get specific here. Those who consider themselves to be religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves. We'll be in there a little bit more in a couple of weeks, so hang on to that one. Their religion is worthless. Religion that our God and Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and keep oneself from the polluted by the world, being polluted by the world. Micah 6:8 says, he has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Mercy, love, and holiness is what he's talking about. Now again, this is the act of worship, showing love, showing mercy, and walking holy. The Lord and I have been talking. I don't expect you to solve this for me, so I must say that. The Lord and I have been talking. I'm very troubled of all the homeless that I encounter continually. And I realize I want to do something, but I need to do something legitimate. I need to do something that will not be hurting them. Quite often, if you give money to these individuals, then they take it and buy something that could end up killing them. So that's very troubling. So I'm really praying, God, show me. I want something that I can invest in that is helping the homeless, that will really benefit them, whether it's a shelter or whatever, okay? Why? Because it's my worship. You hear me? It's my worship. We think, oh, well, my worship is singing the songs. No, your act of worship will be the love, the mercy, and then the holiness. When you separate yourself unto the Lord, that is the worship that God desires and will honor. You see, we have an opportunity here. Once again, we got the whole listening thing going on. We have an opportunity to do something very simple, but to do something God's way. Or to just keep doing it our way. Eh? Quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. What practical counsel is James given to the church in our passage? Look at it first. Listening is better than speaking. Be careful to act on what you hear. Real proof of our worship, controlling our tongue and expressing our worship through mercy, love, and holiness. Now, I brought this to you this morning as simply as I possibly can, because I don't want it to be clouded by my words. We have an opportunity here to do something God's way. And he can be pleased. Amen? We're going to move toward communion as we close the service today. I'd like for you to just listen. Would you take a couple of moments to just listen to the Lord? I know some of you, you know, you got your phones out, you're ready, you're off, and we're into the next thing we're going to do here. You're planning lunch and all of that. Hang on just a minute. It's only 11:30. Give the Lord just a couple more minutes to have an effect upon your life. Here's an opportunity. Just shut yourself in right there with the Lord for just a moment and listen. Maybe, just maybe, He will put something on your heart, an individual on your heart, someone that you might be able to encourage or help before you leave here today. Or He may give you something for next week. Maybe there's a person that you need to talk to. You will go as Christ's ambassador with His Holy Spirit backing you up. Listen. Shannon, would you help me, please? Girls, we'll just do just the music if it's okay for right now. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Master, speak into our lives. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. This morning, as you take and hold these elements of communion in your hands, may you remember what Jesus did for you. He didn't hold back. He gave everything. And according to the word, He is ever making intercession for us, praying for us, speaking on our behalf. Bless you, Lord. Michael, if you would help me. Larry, if you would help me, please. At the head of this aisle, Michael over here, and I will be in the center. If you want to join with us in communion this morning, we invite you to come, take the elements, return to your seats, and just be in meditation before the Lord, and we'll take communion together in a moment. Come. There's a phrase that is repeated throughout the Bible and New Testament. If any man has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Wow, is that ever true? Are we listening? Are we listening? Giving our Lord an opportunity to speak into our lives. Young folks, he will talk to you just like he will talk to anyone else if you give him a chance. But we've got to listen for his voice. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body that was broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that you offered Jesus. I say offer, Lord, because I realize that not everyone will receive. Not everyone will believe. And in the same way, I also realize that not everyone will listen for the voice of your Spirit. We will blame you for things that happen in our lives, but we fail to listen for your voice to give us direction and help as we make our journey. Help us, O Lord, this morning to realize, even as we hold this bread in our hands, you paid it all. You gave everything so that whosoever believes in you would not perish, but have everlasting life. You give us the opportunity to have our sins forgiven and our lives changed in you. I thank you this morning, Master, for this bread. I pray that even as your word tells us that your broken body means healing to us, that we would appropriate this blessing. We would own this blessing. By your stripes, we are healed. And as we take this bread this morning, may we truly take it in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name. Church, take the bread with me. After the meal, the Lord took the cup. He said, "This cup is a new testament in my blood. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you show my death until I come." And he made a proclamation. He said, "I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until I drink it anew with you in my Father's house." This is a cup of the past, of the present, and the future. Thank you, Lord, for this cup. Thank you for all that it means to us. Thank you for the shedding of your blood. Thank you for the remission of sin that came through the shedding of your blood. Thank you that we can appropriate your blood over our lives and over our circumstances in protection. Thank you, Lord, that you care about everything we care about. You are concerned over all of our concerns. Help us today, O Lord, as we take this cup, to recognize the one who gave it all is worthy of our ear. And help us to begin to listen as never before. In Jesus' name. Church, let's take the cup together. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Stand with me, please, as we conclude the service this morning. Could I ask you, I'm always reluctant to ask you to do spiritual gymnastics, but I would like, if you would, to lift up your hands. As an act of mercy, as an act of obedience to the Lord, lifting up holy hands and giving praise and honor today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving our souls. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us, O Lord, to plant it deep within us so that it can produce 30, 60, 100-fold more. Bless your people as we go from this house today. Bless them and use them this week, O Lord. And may their ministry as they leave this house be worship unto you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. God bless you and thank you for being with us. These altars are open. Our elders are ready to pray with you if you have a need and would like prayer.